Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Treasures of this world can satisfy me. My heart is yours and yours alone. Your presence is my life forever. All I ever need, I am in you. Jesus, all I ever need, can satisfy me. My heart is yours and yours alone. Your presence is my life forever. Lord, all I ever need, I am in you. All I ever need, I am in you. Oh, your presence is enough for me. Oh, your presence is enough for me. Nothing else will do, no one else will do. You are enough for me. Nothing else will do, no one else will do. You are enough for me. This one, come on.
Treasures of this world can satisfy me.
My heart is yours.
My heart is yours and yours alone. Your presence is my life forever. All I ever need, in you, yes, Lord. Jesus, all I ever need, I am in you.
Your peace that passes all understanding.
Good morning, top of the morning to all our listeners. You're welcome to another lovely day that the Lord has made. We rejoice in it, and indeed we're glad. Lovely track there by Sinach. Yes, Lord, you're enough for me. Yes, indeed, He is more than enough. He's more than sufficient. He is the beginning and the end. He's all that we desire. It's just if we understand and get revelation that He is the one thing that we need. Father, we thank you, Lord, for once again giving us an opportunity of a new day. Thank you for the privileges this new day brings. Thank you for all our listeners have tuned into today's program. We just thank you, Lord, for the week that has gone by in a new month. Wow, another month in the year of 2026. Time is creeping again. Time waits for nobody. Father, we just thank you for giving us the privilege coming together today to glean into the scriptures, to look into, you know, your word. And we pray that your spirit will be available, your spirit will be in abundance, your spirit will be there to lead us, to guide us, to instruct us, to bring us to a place where we have our eyes open and our ears open, and bring us to a place where we have hearts that understand what it is you're communicating to us. We ask this of you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all our listeners. Thank you for bringing them through to this part of the month and this part of the year 2026. Thank you for, you know, the things that you have given them victory. Thank you for the increase in capacity you have given to them in the days gone by. Thank you for their sphere of, you know, influence that you have increased. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that is today. Thank you for food, for raiment, for shelter. Thank you for health. Thank you, Lord, for our loved ones. Thank you for those that we work with in our communities and our workplaces, you know, in ministry. Father, in our society, we just give you all the glory that in spite of whatever we're challenges we're facing, we are confident that you remain with us. The Bible says the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is a mighty man of war, is as a warrior. And so, Father, we ask that you be in our midst today. You take total control. You reign and rule in all our decisions, our deliberations. And at the end of it, Lord, may we have cause to give you all the glory and all the praise for the things that only you could have done. This we ask of you and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. Yes, you're tuned to Radio Africana. My name is Pastor Wale Adesanloye, and I'll be anchoring today's session as usual. Right, so we'll have a series. We started a couple of introduction sections on the name and the authority of Jesus, and we started off with doing some research and study into certain things that are important to have us get understanding of the name and the authority of Jesus. And so the background of our homework was on understanding, you know, and doing some research into what is a covenant. We gave that some due time last session. What does the covenant mean from the biblical standpoint? We looked at the different types of, you know, covenants in the Bible. Then we also looked at one of the terms and expectations in a covenant. So we know it's a kind of agreement between a couple of parties. Well, what we have in my notes here, biblical covenant involves promises, it has obligations and blessings. You know, they reveal God's desire to partner with humanity in His redemptive plan despite human failures. So we looked at the different types of covenant in terms of conditions. We got covenants, conditional covenants, and we had unconditional covenants. And we see that throughout scripture God establishes these different types of covenant in the Bible with individuals, with nations, and with even all of humanity, providing a framework for understanding His historical actions and prophetic promises. I'll take that again. So throughout the Bible, we see that God establishes the different types of covenants with individuals, with nations, even with humanity as a whole. And He is using these covenants as a framework for understanding His historical actions and prophetic promises. So we are, you know, flesh and blood. We live in a body. We have a soul. And by the grace of God, through our covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, we have a spirit man that is renewed in Christ Jesus. And so we find that the authority in the name of Jesus that we're trying to look at as we take our time journeying down that is really anchored tremendously in God's framework of covenants. So how he, as a spirit, God is a spirit. The Bible says he seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. So how does a covenant keeping God, a God who is spirit, relate with men that are flesh and blood? All right, so the channel and the framework he uses both to establish his, you know, plan, his relationship with us is through covenants. We see that it's a God initiative. We see the terminologies depend, the terms and conditions depend on the type of covenant and what his purpose is through that particular covenant. So we did look at, like I said, the definition of a covenant, what that means from a biblical standpoint. We looked at the types of covenant, you know, and we did mention a few of the biblical covenants. We had the covenants with Noah, okay, the Noahic covenants, and then we looked at the covenants with Abraham, and this is foundational to the entire biblical story, detailing the first step in God's redemptive plan for all the nations, and that's highlighted in Genesis chapter 12. So God called Abraham later, called Abraham to leave his homeland, all right, promising three main things: land, descendants, which is a great nation, and a universal blessing. All right, so we did the Noahic covenants, the Abrahamic covenants, and then we looked at the Mosaic covenant, and we went in some details in Exodus chapter 19, where we had a full read of that chapter from verses 1 to 24, I believe it is. You know, so just to give us a background on what the covenants are in terms of definition, what are some biblical covenants, we can see examples I've mentioned. There's still the covenant with David, and there's the new covenant. We will walk our way there as we go on. All right, and so I did also mention that there are a couple of questions that arise when we start looking at our homework. What should be our roles in our own covenant relationship? That's something we want to be trying to understand in our own covenant relationship with God. What are our own roles? We need to be aware that we are in a covenant with God. Okay, what is that relationship expected to look like for us as believers? All right, and examples of the scripture will help us in knowing our role and responsibility in this scripture. So that's why I've spent a lot of time in the background in understanding covenants, okay, and as it takes us into the name and authority of Jesus. Right, so having said that, today we want to look at a few things to help us. Right, let me see, a few things to help us, and like I said, we've looked at our introduction, definition of covenants, we looked at the types and terms of covenants and some biblical examples. We'll take a break now, and then we'll come back and see now into what we want to look at today in more detail, some key aspects of the covenant that we need to be aware of. Catch you on the other side of the break.
Jesus. until the day I see your face and feel the warmth of your embrace. I'll shout your name through all the pain. No other name, your precious name.
Welcome back if just joining us. Lovely track there by Phil Thompson, Jesus. Yes, we're looking at the authority and power in the name of Jesus. So there is a lot invested in that name, and we're looking at the background as we come into understanding the theme, authority and power in that name, and how the covenant relationship, God's initiative to establish a relationship with humanity, okay, in bringing about his redemptive plan, which has been expressed all the way from back in the Old Testament. You know, so it's important to understand God's relationship, the fact that it's his initiative to want to fellowship with us, you know. And I did say at the beginning, God is a spirit, and he seeks those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And so how do flesh, you know, fallen men relate to us, God who is spirit? So these dynamics are the things that are catered for in the covenant relationship. And so when we understand the terminology, when we understand the terms and responsibilities, the dynamics of the covenant, then it begins to make sense how we come to be able to want to utilize the authority and the power that's in the name of Jesus. But it's something that God had always wanted to establish, right? So I did mention that in the course of our, you know, having this background on biblical covenants, you know, there's some questions that we'll be attempting to raise, okay? So one of the ones I just keep reiterating, but we'll get there, is like, how do we access the covenant? Okay, what are the prerequisites or qualifications, right, to being in a covenant? And how do we access or establish a covenant relationship with Christ? So these are questions that people will ask, and we're going to seek to try and answer them. So what are the prerequisites? Okay, also, what are the privileges or the rights of those who are in a covenant? All right, and of course, finally, we want to try and look at the dynamic working of a covenant. It gives us a greater understanding why we call upon the name, why we can utilize that authority and that power in that name of Jesus. Okay, so what are the believer's covenant rights? Right, so when we've looked at the covenants we're talking about, and we're looking at different types of covenants, what would constitute the believer's covenant right? What is it that you, as a child of God in a covenant relationship with God, has as a covenant right? Right, so believers' covenant rights are a combination of spiritual, physical, and emotional benefits, right, purchased by Jesus, okay, by Jesus' blood, by Jesus' sacrifice, by Jesus, you know, making that ultimate sacrifice to die for all of humanity. You know, one of the things we were looking at later is, you know, he presented himself on the altar. He presented himself as a medium of exchange. A medium of exchange, the altar, is an interface between divinity and humanity. So Christ came as the one that filled the gap. Christ came as the one that was that exchange. He took on our weaknesses so that we could be strengthened. He took on our infirmities so that we could be healed and made whole. So he served as a covenant medium of exchange. We'll look at that in more details when we look at the altar. And so it's important to understand some of these foundations in terms of a covenant, in terms of the relationship, in terms of this God's initiative, in terms of it's very much a framework of God's redemptive plan for men. And so as a result of the sacrifice of Jesus, which is also, you know, bringing us into a covenant relationship, we have covenant rights as believers. So these covenant rights include forgiveness of sins, we have healing, we've got divine protection, we've got prosperity and authority over the enemy. So you can see where we will eventually get into the power and authority in the name of Jesus. It's one of your covenant rights. Can I reiterate? Power and authority to be delegated, utilized, enforced by the believer is one of your covenant rights. As heirs of the new covenant, believers have the right to peace, to righteous standing with God, and access to his promises. I'll take that again. As heirs of the new covenant, okay, believers have the right to peace, they've got the right to righteous standing with God, all right, and access to his promises. And so this is one of the things unbelievers suddenly don't understand. Because you've accepted Jesus Christ, because you've entered into a commitment to God's redemptive plan through his son Jesus Christ, right, you've been declared the righteousness of God, you've been declared a child of God, you've been declared a heir, all right, to the Father. That's your covenant right. Now the moment you access, the moment you accept, the moment you're committed, these become your covenant rights. It must be understood here, it's not anything that we've done on our own strength or ability. These rights are not earned, okay, but they're received through faith in Christ's finished work. So our covenant rights are not earned, rather they're received through faith. So we access the benefits of the covenant, we access our covenant rights through faith in Jesus Christ, who is the mediator of this superior covenant, all right, and because of his finished work, because he met, okay, the requirements, okay, of God as far as sins were concerned and as far as God's justice system was concerned. God said, the Bible says, he sought for a man to stand in the gap. And he offered his son, and he, Jesus, came to stand in the gap for you and I. The Bible reminds us that while we were yet sinners, when we didn't even understand these dynamics, he had gone to the cross. He had sealed the deal. He had won the victory. So believers are encouraged to stake their claim and enforce these rights against spiritual opposition. Please understand, you are to state your claim, okay, you are to enforce these rights, okay, against all spiritual opposition, rather than begging for what is already been provided through the sacrifice of Jesus. Now that's something a great deal of Christians don't fully understand, and so they find themselves in situations, right, circumstances, and because there's a void, because they're ignorant of their covenant right, because they're ignorant of what it is that is expected of them, okay, as one who is a party in the covenant, because they're ignorant of their covenant benefits, all right, the spiritual benefits, the physical benefits, the emotional benefits purchased by Christ's blood, okay, which I said include the forgiveness of sins, the healing, divine protection, prosperity, and authority over the enemy. So these are to be, you have to stake your claim on your covenant rights, and you must enforce them on this side of eternity. So that victory has been won, that covenant has been established, the beneficiaries of the covenant, that is you and myself, are to stake our claim on our rights, and we are to enforce this, you know, covenant rights in every situation. Now we take delivery of these rights through our faith in Christ's finished work. We'll take another break now. and then we'll come back and we'll look at some of the more details as to what exactly are these covenant rights in some detail, and emphasizing on why we must stand up knowing our rights and making sure that we can enforce the victory, we can enforce the power and authority that Jesus has won and delegated to you and I as sons of God, as heirs of the Father. The Lord will grant us understanding of these things in Jesus' name. Catch you on the flip side of the break.
In the name of Jesus, all you need to do is just call on His name. In your time of trouble, just reach out and say the name, the sweet name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus.
Save.
Welcome back if you're just joining us. Yes, we have taken another break. We're looking at the authority and power in the name of Jesus, and we're doing a really very foundational, fundamental, you know, framework, really. Yes, in understanding covenants and understanding the purpose of covenants, our responsibilities in the covenants. And then we're looking now in the last few sessions here, what are the believer's covenant rights? And we did mention that as believers, we are beneficiaries, all right, to certain covenant rights, and we receive them through faith in Christ's finished work. So believers are encouraged to stake claim and enforce these rights, okay, against all spiritual opposition, rather than begging. Now, when you don't know that it's your right, then you might be begging for what you have authority over, what you have as a covenant right, you know, and that's a very not wonderful place for the enemy to put you. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And so that's why we're taking time to study and understand these things. All right, so covenant rights are what we received by accessing the covenant, establishing ourselves in that covenant relationship. And so these are benefits that come to us through our faith in Jesus Christ. And our faith is in his finished work, knowing that he conquered sin, and you know, he conquered death, he made an open shame of the enemy, you know, defeating him publicly. And so we have that authority and power in his name as a gift, as a benefit, as a covenant right. So now let's look at some of these covenant rights. Let's see how much of them we can take in the next few minutes. I want to look at forgiveness of sins and righteousness. I mentioned that it's a free gift from God that we're forgiven. If you accept him, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you know, you confess your faults, you know, then the Lord is, you know, prepared to, you know, give to everyone who has a repentant heart. So if you turn from your old ways, he's prepared to turn and transform your life and grant you forgiveness of all your sins. And there's freedom from guilt, freedom from sin, okay, and of course condemnation. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 8, I believe it is, verses 1 and 2. It says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's heavy, you know. Doesn't matter what anybody will throw at you, whatever anybody wants to say, because of your relationship, because of the gifts you have, you know, downloaded and you have access to, there is now no condemnation. You have repented. It's just as if you didn't sin. There's justification. There's no need to suffer from the guilt of sin. You know, these are major things, and each believer needs to understand that they've been taken care of, you know, by virtue of your covenant relationship with Jesus. You got health and wholeness, the right to a healthy body and a healthy mind. You know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, the Bible says, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. Think about that. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So whenever fear is coming, that's not from God. That's not your portion. That's not the gift that God has given to you. But God has given you threefold against every fear the enemy can throw into your life. He's giving you the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and of a sound mind. Lovely people, I really hope you're keying in to your benefits as a covenant child of God, to your rights as a covenant child. You got a right to health and wholeness, right to a healthy body. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Now, provision and prosperity. God has given us access to more than enough. Okay, God has given us access to more than enough to meet our needs and to bless others. So not only does he give us access to these benefits, but they're to meet our own needs, and we can grow in our understanding, grow in our ability to stand upon these rights and enforce the victory, and even share that with others. Remarkable. You know, so important that we understand these are our covenant rights. Now, protection and peace. You're right, freedom from fear, like I've just defined in scripture mentioned a few minutes ago. I think it's 1 Timothy 1:7. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. If you have the love of God garrison your mind, that's a big protection. If you've got a sound mind, you're thinking clearly, you think through, you're not ignorant of God's covenant rights towards you, God's covenant blessings towards you, God's covenant promises towards you, then you stand to enforce the victory that has already been won. You stand to use the delegated authority and power given to you in the name of Jesus. All right, so there is power mighty in that name of Jesus. Authority, the right to use the name of Jesus. We are given a God-given authority, okay, to use the name of Jesus and take authority over the enemy. So this is very important. So now you can see why we walked our way down through the understanding the covenant, understanding the terminology, understanding our own obligations, understanding the promises laid clear within the, you know, covenant relationship. Finally, well, one more to go. We've got the relationship with God. So we now have, by virtue of this covenant relationship, by virtue of accepting his initial invitation, his initial, you know, beckoning to us, you know, to draw close to him. You know, if we draw close to him, he will draw closer to us. So there's a beckoning. You'll find it full in the scriptures. Come unto me, all of ye who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, let's reason together. If your sins be as crimson, he's always inviting us to come and tabernacle. Always inviting us to come and fellowship. Always inviting us to come into a place of common union with him. There's so much that we have in this covenant relationship. There's so many benefits. There's so many rights that we have. And we should really spend time to understand what these covenant rights are, so that we know and we can take delivery of what has been made available through the covenant. Finally, we've got an inheritance as children of God, eternal life. It says, to as many as believed in him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. Okay, to as many as believed, he gave power to become sons. So we have an inheritance, we're children of God, and you know, he also have access to eternal life through this relationship. It's a lot I've just, you know, put down there, but it's so important that we understand these are our covenant rights. And as you can well imagine, if you're ignorant of your covenant rights, then sometimes when you should be delegating your authority, when you should be making a decree and declaration, when you should be in a warfare mode, enforcing the authority, enforcing the power, enforcing the blessings of God over your life, over your family, over your situation, over your circumstances, we have a wrong approach, and we're begging God, help me with this. Like, listen, I've given you the authority, I've given you the power. You enforce that authority, you declare into that situation, you speak into that circumstance, you resist the devil, he will flee from you. I have given you authority and power, you know, and this is what we all have as believers. So the question sometimes may become, I always like questions, helps us to think more deeply. How do we enforce this power over sin, over infirmity, okay, over offense in our lives? Now that may be a question a lot of people are asking, and I think that's something in our subsequent sessions we're going to try to provide some answers to that. Okay, so we now know we have some covenant rights, right, in Christ Jesus. We know that we access them by faith, Okay, and the Bible talks about, I think it's 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. So it's not fight in the way you, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. This warfare we're talking about spiritual. We're physical people fighting spiritual wars. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are made mighty through God to pulling down strongholds, to pulling down imaginations, to pulling down every high thing that exalts itself contrary, above, over the position that God has blessed you with as a child of God. So lovely people, again, I want to just, you know, appeal to us to go do some due diligence on these covenant rights we have discussed today. Okay, forgiveness of sins, righteousness, health and wellness, okay, provision and prosperity, protection and peace, authority, a relationship with God, and we have access to eternal life. We can take delivery of all of this, and we can be empowered and graced and anointed to a point that we can share them, we can impart them, we can transmit them even to others also. I pray the Lord bring you to a place of understanding your full rights as a child of God, your full covenant rights as one who is in a covenant relationship with the Lord, and be able to stand by faith to enforce, to execute, okay, all right, your dominion, your authority, your power in any situation, any sphere you find yourself, or any circumstance. You know, I think years ago I always used to remember about you, what you need to be now, be working on your masters, right? So you become a master of situation and circumstances, not a victim, not a victim. You are called to be a master of situations and circumstances. The Lord give us understanding in these things in Jesus' name, and the Lord help us to get to that point where we really, really not only understand our rights, but we're able to stand by faith, okay? You're right, faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that he has accomplished this victory, he has won the battle. We just need to enforce that which has already been won in every situation, in every circumstance in which we find ourselves. And may the Lord give us understanding to do so in Jesus' name. Right, so what else are we looking at? I think the next session we'll try and look at some of the prerequisites, okay, or qualifications, all right, or to being in a covenant relationship. So today we've just looked at what are some of our believers' covenant rights, and the believers' covenant rights are spiritual, they're physical, emotional benefits, and they're purchased by Jesus' blood, okay, by the finished work. And these include forgiveness of sins, healing, divine protection, prosperity, you know, and authority over the enemy, you know. And as heirs of this new covenant, believers have the right to peace, have your right to righteous standing with God. You have the right to access to all his promises, and you have the right to be able to utilize his name, his authority in every situation and circumstance. Father, we just want to thank you for, you know, how far you've helped us today. Right, I want to thank you, Lord, for the journey thus far. I pray, Lord, that you will cause the eyes of our understanding to see through the scriptures what it is you're revealing in the scriptures in terms of our identity in Christ. You know, I'm reminded of the sons of Sceva, who thought that they could use the name of Jesus, use the authority without relationship. It doesn't work. There must be a defined relationship with the source of power. There must be a defined relationship which is acknowledged by both parties. So God knows you. The Bible said the Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knows those who serve him in spirit and in truth. God is seeking those to worship him in spirit and truth. How do you worship a God who is spirit. So these are the things we're trying to understand. How do you relate with a God who is spirit? All right, so there's a covenant framework, there's a covenant relationship, and the dynamics of how this works is so important so that we can relate with God. We can be in this relationship with Him. We can have constant communion and fellowship, and you know, hear the whispers, hear the leadings of the Spirit. He says, I will not take away your teachers from you. You will hear a voice telling you, go to the left, go to the right. So He constantly speaks to those that are His. He says, my sheep know me, they hear my voice, and they follow the instructions. I pray the Lord opens your eyes to see, your spiritual eyes to see. I pray the Lord opens your spiritual ear to hear the leading, the promptings, the whispers of the Spirit, whichever means He chooses to speak to you. You know, while men slept, the Bible says, in a dream, right? He releases their instruction. He releases the revelation. He releases deep things, insight and understanding. When we sleep, there's a lot of spiritual exchange going on in that place. So I pray that we learn to guard our atmosphere and environment when we sleep because of what takes place in that sacred time of our day. May the Lord help us to understand these things, understand our covenant rights, the provisions that have been made available, the authority and power we have in the name of Jesus to exercise that authority, to exercise dominion, to exercise reign and rule over everything that is contrary to the will of God. The Lord grant you understanding. The Lord keep His word in you like a seed. I pray, Lord, that the words that we've shared today will come into the hearts of every one of our listeners like a seed. And Lord, let it hit the good ground. Let it hit that part of their hearts that is rich and open and ready to receive the word. Let it be like a seed that will spring forth at the appointed time to bring forth and to deliver to you, your family, your community, an abundant harvest, an expected harvest, a harvest of the promises and the blessings of God that make it rich and added no sorrow. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His countenance to shine and remain upon you and to remain upon yours. The Lord be with you in every season of your life. The Lord strengthen you. He's the one that teaches your fingers to fight and your hands to war. May the Lord strengthen you for spiritual warfare. May the Lord teach you how to package your prayer, package your weapons of warfare, and wage a good warfare. We are called to fight the good fight of faith. Father, Lord, I pray that as we hear these teachings, as we read, study, and meditate upon the Word of God, you will grant us an understanding even of the deep things you have given to us, of the weapons that are available to us, so that we can package, we can utilize them, you know, and so that the victory that has already been won can be enforced, not just in our lives, but through all who come in contact with us. The victory has already been won. You are on the winning side. You've been declared an overcomer. You've been declared a barrier crosser. You've been declared one that is more than a conqueror. Think about these things. It's not a suggestion. You have already been declared the righteousness of God. So look at the things that God has prophetically declared you as a child of God. You are a heir of promise. You are on the victory side. You are a victorious child of God. You are a covenant, in a covenant relationship with the covenant keeping God. If God is on your side, who can be against you? Think about these things. So spend time in His presence. Spend time in understanding your covenant right, what has been given to you as a gift, as a promise from the Creator and the Monarch of the universe, the Governor of the nations. He keeps His covenant from one generation to another generation. He keeps His covenant with the whole of humanity. He keeps with covenant with His covenant keeping nations. What an awesome God. Lovely people, I hope you've been blessed today. I hope, you know, this session has really made some sense. I know I dropped quite a few nuggets there and some things we need to go do our due diligence. I would really do some homework on researching more in depth to each of the covenant, you know, rights that I expressed here. And of course, explore if there are much more that you can tap into. It will change your stand. It will change your position. Till we meet again, same time on the same channel. It's been a pleasure being with you this morning. Do take care of yourself. Stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, he is ever with you. God bless and bye for now.
Song of ages to the Lamb, and all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your
holy, all creation. always be this way. Thought sickness had the final say, but you said not today. You always make a way. Doubt almost robbed my will to pray. Fear told me just accept my fate, but you said not today. 'Cause you always make a way. And when man could not do it, my